You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Michael Pulitzer has had a number of careers before he settled on nature photography. He was a successful actor in German film and TV, and later he was the CEO of a tech startup. But his true talent seems to be in picture taking, and he has been awarded the International Photography Award and the 2008 Deutsche Fotobuchpreis for his work, which the New York Times has said might change the way you think about photography. His latest book, Antarctic, captures life in the polar regions with intimate detail through over 180 oversized double-page spreads. It's published by Tenoise, and I'm very pleased that it brings Mr. Pulitzer to our show today. Hello.
Thanks. How are you?
And when I said oversized, we're talking about a huge book here, a book that weighs a lot but also has really large pages, and we're talking about double-page spreads. The equivalent of seeing these images on a large screen.
Yeah, we try to in order to communicate the beauty and the specialness of the places that I've been to, and through size, we feel it conveys the message much better if we make it large enough. Unfortunately, you always have kind of the middle of the book there that is a little bit in the way, but that's kind of the price you pay.
Well, since it's we're talking about large images and most of them close-ups, it really does make us feel like we are right next to the things that you're shooting. You have a number of beautiful pictures of polar bears in this book, including the one of the bear in a field of purple flowers on the cover. How are we able to get such close-up shots of polar bears? Can't they be dangerous?
Yeah, they are actually rather dangerous. And, that specific shot was magic. You know, it's very unusual to find a polar bear in flower fields. This case, it's fireweed, and it was shot in Canada near Hudson Bay on a small place called Hubbard Point in just about 100 miles north of Churchill. And we were actually setting up a camp there because I've seen a picture of a polar bear in flower fields before, and I did some research, found some people. We set up a camp there, made sure that the sleeping tents were nicely guarded by a strong fence, and then we had another electric fence actually around the whole camp because the polar bears are very hungry, very innovative, very persistent, and we are definitely anything that walks and moves is basically on their food plan, you know.
So how long did you have to sit behind an electric fence waiting for a polar bear to come by?
Well, you know, at this time of the year, the bloom of the fireweed is in early August, late July, early August, and that pretty much is the same time when the last ice is melting in Hudson Bay, and the polar bears need the ice to hunt because they are, you know, they're that's the platform for them. They can't get the seals in the water themselves, so they have to swim ashore, which is sometimes a long, long, long swim. And it just happened to coincidence that the polar bears were coming ashore, and the fireweed was in full bloom. And then obviously, being humans and bringing some food with us and things like that, we were a little bit of an attraction for them. So they were smelling us from miles away and started to come closer to check us out.
Although you had airtight food containers to protect
yourself.
We did,
of course. But, every once in a while you do have to open them up, you know.
Had you seen Werner Herzog's Grizzly Man?
Actually, I've never seen that movie. It's on my list of things to do still, yeah.
It would dissuade me from ever getting close to a bear. On the other hand, you have extremely close-up shots of walruses, and walrus colonies in the Arctic are even more remote than the places where you'd find polar bears.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I was did quite a bit of research to find a place that is fairly accessible for me to go there and to shoot walruses. I ended up flying to a place called Coral Harbor, which if you come from Germany, it means you have to catch a plane from Frankfurt to Denver, from Denver to Winnipeg, from Winnipeg to Churchill, from Churchill to Rankin Inlet, and from Rankin Inlet to Coral Harbor.
So you really have to be committed.
And then we had another 8 or 9 hour boat ride, and it happened to be a big storm on the way. So it was one of the most scary moments on this trip.
I'm assuming that most of your walrus photos were taken on a boat.
Yes.
Are they dangerous too? Because you get really close. Or are you shooting these with telephotos?
Of course, I'm using telephoto. But I'm also trying to use wide angle whenever I can and get really close to the animals. And they're big animals. I know they're not fast on the ground, but they're obviously, you know, if you're too close, you don't want to mess with them.
You also have some wonderful pictures of penguins and other seabirds, which I'm assuming are much less dangerous than polar bears or walruses. Are penguins afraid of humans?
No, you see, the penguins, as they are only common in Antarctic, and, you know, a few of them, you know, populations in South Africa or in the Galapagos.
And now they're going on to Brazil, I hear.
Yeah, but, I mean, they'll never make it over the equator, so they never made it up to the northern part, to the Arctic, which means they're not exposed to any polar bears, which are only in the Arctic, or any other predators that live up there. So the penguins, when they're on ground, they actually feel rather safe. They have predators like a leopard seal in the water waiting for them. But on the ground, they're rather safe.
And they're not afraid of humans?
Not really. They're maybe slightly territorial. If you come too close, then, of course, they don't like that. But they wouldn't like that if another penguin would come too close. But they're actually quite curious. So if you sit down for a while and just don't do much, then they will come and check you out and become very, very inquisitive.
In several shots, you capture the sheer size of king penguin colonies. I imagine the sound there must be pretty intense.
Yeah, it's actually a wonderful sight and sound and a rather interesting smell as well. Because you can imagine with about 200,000 penguins in that such a concentration. This is in South Georgia.
They're really packed in.
Yeah, it's a magic place. It's a place called Salisbury Plains, which is a beautiful beach, and it's the home of about 200,000 breeding king penguins, and the sheer numbers and the noise and the smell, it's mind-blowing, but it's also an amazing privilege to have seen that.
South Georgia is an island chain?
Yeah, South Georgia lies off east of the southern tip of South America, and many of the Antarctic trips that go by cruise ships make a stop in either the Falklands or South Georgia, or visit both of them on the way to Antarctica, which is actually a great idea because South Georgia is really worth visiting.
So you did some of this work on cruise ships?
In fact, I did, yes. I spoke to one of the ships that come out of Germany, and, you know, they still have, you know, a very good access to those places, and I managed to get my own little Zodiac and do my own little site work according to the regulations that are in place there, which are quite strictly enforced, which is good.
They'd let you over the side so that you could get closer to the things you were shooting?
Well, you know, when, you know, smaller cruise ships go to some of the penguin colonies or other sites of interest, and they take this whole thing very serious. For example, on the cruise ship I was on, which was the Bremen, they have a washing machine for your boots. So every time you go on land, your boots are thoroughly washed, and every time you come back as well. That's because they don't want any germs to be taken from one island to the next or any other bacteria. And then the guests are really put in Zodiacs and they're brought ashore. But, you know, I always managed to get into the first Zodiac and come out with the last one. And every once in a while, I was able to do a little bit of my site work, you know, as long as it didn't conflict, as I said, with the regulations there.
My guest is Michael Politza, whose latest book is Antarctic, A Tribute to Life in the Polar Regions. It's published by Tonoise. Your previous photography books have focused on Africa. Does this represent a totally different challenge for you?
Yeah, you know, I was living in Cape Town for 7 years or so, and I got a lot of opportunity to travel. You know, as you were saying earlier, my background wasn't really photography, and I was kind of drifting along and started to play around with my camera and really enjoyed photographing Africa. And I tried to shoot Africa a little bit different than other people. We've all seen millions of pictures of elephants and lions. So, you know, I was trying to get a different angle and a different kind of feel to it. And my first book, Africa, and then the book that came a year later, Eyes Over Africa, which was basically a helicopter trip from Hamburg all the way down to Cape Town, where we were shooting from the air and got beautiful, beautiful patterns of Africa and the country. But after Africa, I felt like, you know, I want to do something else as well. And obviously, I'm very concerned about the climate change. And you know, it was the year of the polar year, and so I felt it would be great to go and do something about Antarctica. And being down there then, I realized that it probably would make sense to include Arctic as well. So that's why, you know, this is a book about both polar regions and very different in color, as you can imagine, whereas the colors in Africa are mostly in the greens and reds and browns and
yellows.
And yellows a lot. You come to, Antarctica and lots of gray and there's lots of blue and there's tiny little elements of yellow and red. But it was quite a challenge to photograph that, actually.
Because you do have some breathtaking pictures of landscapes from icebergs and the northern lights and sunsets and things that we think we know sunsets, but it's obviously different in the North and South Pole. I'm assuming also you went there during the summers.
Yes, in the Antarctic I went at summertime. I went in December, January, February, which is obviously the southern summer. Which means it has temperatures around, freezing point, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, about 0 degrees Celsius. The Arctic I visited in summer, but also in wintertime. So wintertime meant temperatures from probably minus 40, minus 50. So that was getting rather cold.
Does it make it more difficult to shoot? Do shutters freeze?
The camera did very, very well. I'm shooting Canon, and it really has been a very reliable, camera for me.
Digitally using film?
Yeah, no, I've been shooting digitally for quite some time. What is more difficult is batteries. Batteries really have shortened lifespan in the cold. You know, when you can use them for 3 or 4 days in the warmth, they last for an hour in the cold. You know, and of course, changing batteries, changing memory cards, and things like that in the cold takes always a little bit longer. But it's, it's fun.
In the preface of the book, the Prince of Monaco writes that your pictures show us what is at stake for the polar regions. Did you set out to take pictures simply to show how beautiful they are? Or were you trying to give your viewers a sense of what might not be there in the future?
Yeah, my ambition is to take beautiful pictures, and doing so, I want to, if I can, create a little bit of positive emotions, and through that, a little bit of responsibility, then I would be very, very happy. I think that we must not underestimate the power of images, and we have so many bad news coming in every day. We cannot feel responsible for everything on this planet, so we typically feel closer and more responsible for things that are a bit closer to our heart, and if I can make my little contribution by, creating some positive emotions, that would be cool.
What are your thoughts about this latest controversy involving the hacking of environmentalist email messages? It's being argued that the data about global warming has been rigged.
Yeah, no, it's so difficult for the average person to really kind of decide what is right and what is wrong and what is really the true facts. You know, but the fact alone that we're discussing climate change and the warming and carbon footprints and all of that alone is very, very, very important and gets everybody on their toes. I've been down there 4 times in the Arctic and 4 times in Antarctica. You know, it's a blink of an eye. I wouldn't dare to, make a statement on whether I have seen climate change. You know, it's just, I'm not a researcher, but I do certainly feel that we need to take care of our planet.
Well, this past September, 2 German vessels made history by becoming the first commercial ships to travel from East Asia to Western Europe via the Northwest Passage. Or is it Northeast Passage?
It would be.
Between Russia and the Arctic. So that would suggest that there something is going on.
No, definitely. If you look at the ice there, it has retreated over the last, 10, 15 years dramatically. And as such, it is a big problem. But I'm just saying I'm not the one that should be judging that by being at very few places. So it's difficult because I don't have the credentials as a scientist.
What are you shooting now?
I'm working on another book on the continents. So I'm going to be working on Australia as my next project. And in between, I'm doing a book on South Africa. Being the World Cup next year, I feel it would be great to have a great book that let pictures talk again on just on South Africa alone.
Meanwhile, I know a lot more about what's inside a walrus's mouth than I ever thought I would. And some of these images are just so gorgeous. Thank you so much for being with us, Michael Politza. His latest book, Antarctic, A Tribute to Life, in the polar regions, published by Tenoise. By the way, we have a slideshow on our website at WMIC.org if you want to get a sense of what some of these pictures look like. They are quite extraordinary. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.